Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am excited still because of the book that we're in. We're still in that book of wisdom called the Book of Proverbs. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like, for the host to set up a room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank you of those individuals out there that have given me feedback on this particular show and comments and advice. My precious brothers and sisters, I am using that. Please continue to do it for me. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King David, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. That's taken from Psalms 145, verse 19. Now, the promise is that you're going to receive salvation and you are going to be fulfilled in this activity, this side of eternity that you're experiencing if you fear the Lord and you cry out to him. God said again, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. That's taken from Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 and verse 12. And of course, again, the promise is that God will be your father. He will be our father. We shall be his people if we keep his commandments and walk as he requires us to do according to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. God said again, this time through King Solomon, who is a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his faith shall be changed. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 1. So the promise is that you're going to be shining with the wisdom of God if you respond to him correctly. Now, the question again for this hour is, are you standing on these promises of God? Now, before we get started this evening and go into our study, as I always do, I must rehearse this for you, my precious brothers and sisters. I do it for myself as well as for you as a reminder that the Bible is written in code. It is written in mysteries. That's the meaning of code. Secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, in riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we are engaged with one another tonight, so we can study and learn together. That is critical to me, and I hope that's critical to you. So now let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources to Proverbs 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 6 and verse 15. And we're also going to look at Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Now, the text is going to be similar to the actual instruction. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses to you. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My precious brothers and sisters, that is very significant, I think, that we know that we must be constantly learning and developing so we can do better and better and perfect ourselves towards the Lord God Almighty. Now, this is what Solomon said in Proverbs 22, verse 6. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Verse 15 is similar. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Again, that's part of the training, is to chastise your or to correct your children, because, of course, we're born blank with no knowledge of what is supposed to be correct or incorrect, and we have to learn that. We'll go to Proverbs 23 for continued emphasis on this. Proverbs 23, verse 13, it says, withhold not correction from thy child, or if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Again, this is telling us that we must be willing to punish and discipline our children. We must be willing to be punished and disciplined ourselves, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there. That is critical. And now verse 14 gives us the last thought on that. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. That is significant. We know that if we were not corrected, we would do what we think is right. And even if it turns out to be wrong, without correction, we would still go the same way. Now, to add impetus to this, we're going to go to Deuteronomy. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy. And we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. And this is what Moses taught the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. And this is verse 1 and 2 to begin with. Listen to what Moses taught Israel. And this is in compliance with what we're talking about. We need to make sure that there is instruction. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes. I see that we're at the first break. So let's take that break, and then we'll continue with our lesson.
I can. I can is a phrase that we need to permanently remove from our vocabulary. In life, there's no perfect person. There are no perfect set of circumstances. All of us have areas of our lives that are less than perfect. Yet there are some that, despite their disability, find a way to do what others say they can't do. Moses was a stutterer. Isaac was blind. Mephibosheth had crippled legs. In our modern world, Albert Einstein, the mathematician physicist, had a learning disability. He didn't speak until he was 3 years old. Yet he overcame these challenges to be known as one of the brightest men of our times. Alexander Graham Bell, Walt Disney, and George Washington all had learning disabilities. Yet they led, created, and inspired. Ludwig van Beethoven is the greatest composer and musician, and yet he was deaf. Helen Keller, who devoted her life to persons with disabilities, she was blind, deaf, and mute. What excuses are you using in your life? What things are you saying I can't do when you really could be saying I can? Get it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know what Solomon said. Now let's hear Moses giving similar instruction to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. And this is so significant because this is more than just one individual. This is a community that Israel is that Moses is talking about. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, in all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 6 through 9 completes the thought. This is what Solomon or Moses continued to tell Israel. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou lie down, and when thou rise up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy door and on thy gates. So Moses is telling Israel in more than just a specific entity of saying a child, but everyone in the community is supposed to be taught and constantly taught. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how today we can compare and agree with what that was saying with 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. And this is what Peter says in his comments to his disciples. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's talking about training and being right with God as obedient children. Listen, my brothers and sisters, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He's talking to adults as well as to the youth. He's talking to all of us as we are. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So the point is that not only do the children receive instruction and discipline, so do the adults, to ensure that we stay within the confines of what God is requiring of us. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that keeping God's commandments is essential to spiritual growth in Christianity. We must be constantly aware, constantly rehearsing, constantly studying and training and drilling, more especially as the day approaches. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at this second instruction for this evening, Proverbs 22, and it's only going to be one verse. It's going to be verse 7. And as I read the instruction to you, remember in Proverbs, sometimes the instruction and the scripture text are identical. In this instance, this is what the instruction says. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And that's exactly what the text says. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And this is what Moses told Israel about it in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Turn your Bible sources with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And again, this is what Israel was taught by Moses, which is so significant. I'm going to read verse 1 first, and then we're going to read verse 7 to 13. Listen to how Moses puts it to Israel. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, you don't want to be poor. You don't want to be a lender. This is where Moses is going with this, and he completes that thought in verse 7 through 13. Listen to what he says, verse 7 through 13. He says, the Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before the seven ways. If you are correct in listening to the instruction, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou sittest thy hand unto to do. And he shall bless thee in the land where the Lord thy God give thee. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself, and as he swore unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, you shall receive it. Again, you're going to be rich and not poor in this instance. You're going to be a lender and not a borrower. And he continues with verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land whither thy Lord thy God swore unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open up unto thee good treasures, the heavens to give rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. Now we see that the Lord God is going to make you rich in his richness, and you won't be poor, and you will not be a borrower, you will be a lender. And that's the sense of what Israel is being taught by Moses, if you listen to the commandments of God. Now let's go to the New Testament complement. Turn with me to James chapter 2, the New Testament complement, James chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And listen, this is how James told the disciples about the same. He said, my brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into dire temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. No, I'm reading chapter 1, I'm mistaken. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you in the assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come into you also a person in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say unto the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are you not then partial in yourselves? And are you become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Again, when we hear Solomon saying that the rich rule over the poor, and he's talking in a physical sense. But again, this is significant that the poor are going to be the ones that will receive godliness. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? And so we know from what James is saying that even though the rich rules over the poor, you must be very careful in how you approach this, because God favors those who are weak and meek and lowly and poor. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That respect of persons is a sin against God. For God says, thou shalt not be a respecter of persons. That is what is critical for us to understand. Now I see we're at the second break. Let's take the second break and then we'll return to the lesson.
Dear child of God, nothing can touch you without God's permission. Everything you face, you have the grace to overcome. Let me tell you what's going on behind the scenes. God is ordering your footsteps. He's the type of God that does things like remove one opportunity from your life that was once a blessing and replace it with an even bigger opportunity. Or he'll move certain people out of your life. People who have served their purpose for that season, and he'll replace them with people who will elevate you to the next level of faith. People who will cultivate your gifts and help you walk in godliness. You see, child of God, don't try and hold on to the dead things in your life. That last opportunity had its season. Let it go. God has bigger opportunities in store. That last relationship didn't feed you anymore. Let it go. God has prepared new relationships for you.
Dear child of God, there is no need to be worried or anxious, for God is with you. God loves you just the way you are. You were created in his image, and that means you are unique in each and every way. God is behind the scenes, pulling the strings. He is ordering your steps. He is the lamp to your feet. So walk with your head held high. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk with the confidence that Psalm 23 gives us. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Walk with the confidence that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Walk in the full knowledge that you are on the winning team and the enemy has already been defeated.
God says in his word, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you. He is pulling the strings. Your every step is ordered. Dear child of God, you do not need the validation of others. You don't need the approval of other people. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear. When you feel left out, when you feel rejected, or when you're hurt, don't let what you feel make you forget what God said. He says, you are chosen. You are redeemed. You are protected. You are a child of God. And I want to tell you this. God cares. God cares about your emotions, about your pain, and about your happiness.
Dear child of God, nothing can touch you without God's permission. You do not need the validation of others. You don't need the approval of other people. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear. God orders your footsteps. God will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Don't ever forget that. You shall hold your peace. Dear child of God, when you feel left out, when you feel rejected or when you're hurt, your Heavenly Father tells you that He knows the plans He has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And I want to tell you this. God cares. God cares about your emotions, about your pain, and about your happiness.
God wants you to know He will never reject you. Dear child of God, have hope. The enemy wants to discourage you and make you feel like things will never get better, like there's no way out. But I want you to know you have a future. I want you to know that God can make all things new. He can take your problem and turn it into something good. Walk in the full knowledge that you are on the winning team and the enemy has already been defeated. Dear child of God, the battle is not yours. God will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Don't ever forget that. You shall hold your peace. God loves you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to the next instruction, and we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8. We're taking one instruction, and of course, this scripture text is the identical instruction, and this is what the instruction says. He that soweth iniquity shall reap iniquity. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Verse 8 says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. And the rod of his anger shall fail. So what we're talking about is not only the iniquity is going to reap iniquity, but vanity is going to be a part of it. And you will be punished because of it. Well, we know that evil begets evil, so that's the reason for the punishment. Now let's look at verse 37, and we're going to see how King David told Israel about the same, that inequity does not give you anything but destruction. David says in Psalms 37, verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So inequity is going to be cut off. And then he completes the thought when we go to verse I'm looking to get the completion of the thought. We're going to go to verse 32 through 38. Verse 32 through 38, this is what King David continues to say. He says, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. So you can see where David is telling Israel that wickedness will be punished with being lost, with devastation. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Galatians, and we're going to see how Paul taught this to the disciples. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. And of course, in this instance, we're overextending what Paul was specifically talking about, because he was identifying a fault that we fall into, but this does cover inequity, and that's the key. Listen to what Paul says. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, Paul says. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? For he that soweth of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So, again, it tells us that if you sow in inequity, you will reap inequity. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that you will reap what you sow. As simple as that, my brothers and sisters, and we have to remember that. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 9. One verse, and like I say, the verse will be identical to the instruction, and this is the instruction. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. And we know that when Solomon wrote this, he was talking about giving, giving to the poor. That's what he was talking about. And this is what the scripture says. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. And so that's what this is telling us. And we're going to go to Psalms 41, and we're going to see how King David put it to Israel in Psalms 41 concerning giving to the poor. This is what David said. Psalms 41, verse 1 through 3. David says, blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou shalt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou shalt make all of his bed in his sickness. What Solomon or David is telling Israel is that those who consider the poor, they will be blessed beyond measure. And I see we're at our next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with our instruction.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. We're talking about relationship principles. This is a series of several lessons, and this one I'm going to talk about is principle number 8, and that is people want success, so help them win. I think everybody wants to win, and I think most people don't win on a consistent basis. And I think because of that, their self-image goes down, their confidence goes down, and things that they could do, they don't do, and the person they could become, they don't become. Because no one wants to continually lose their way to success. You can't really do that. You've got to get some wins under your belt. You've got to get some victories. I mean, if you look at the Old Testament example of David, I mean, he's known for being the giant slayer. He killed Goliath in a battle. And everybody knows that young, non-experienced, non-military, little David beat up the big boy. Everybody knows that. But what they don't know sometimes is that he just didn't take that giant leap from being a shepherd boy to a giant killer. You see, while he was a shepherd, one day a bear came out of the woods to take the sheep, and he was good with a slingshot, and he killed the bear. And one day he killed a lion. So he had some wins under his belt before he got to, you know, Shaq Goliath. He had some wins under his belt before he got there. So when he got to Goliath, this wasn't a big step. It was the next step. You see, success is all about several wins, several steps taken. I did that pretty well, and I've accomplished this, and you kind of step your way up until the moment that you kind of get well known as a giant slayer. You it's no big deal to you. You know what's no big to you? It's a big deal to them because all they saw you do is knock out the big boy. But it's no big deal to you because you've been winning for a period of time. So help people. Help people get some little wins under the belt. It'll help their confidence. It'll make them more secure. It'll make them more bold. And someday, they'll get to be a giant slayer. Welcome. I'm glad you're with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we'll continue with the thought, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. And we know that what we're talking about is caring and taking care of the poor. And we are reading, or we have read, what King David said about this, and it is so significant. Again, David said, blessed. There's a blessing that comes with considering the poor. The Lord will deliver him out of his troubles. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And there will not, and thou will not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon his bed of languishing. Thou will make his bed in his sickness. So God, David is telling us, or telling Israel for sure, but that is the blessing that you'll receive if you consider the poor. And that's just not poor physically, my precious brothers and sisters, from lack of money. But that's poor in general. For even I extend it to the point of those who do not know the Lord. They are poor. And so if we do what we're supposed to do in response, we shall receive the reward. And now let's go to the New Testament compliment. We're going to see how James puts it to his disciples in James chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Listen to how James, puts it in James chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. We read this, my brothers and sisters, and we understood what this meant in the instance that we should consider the poor and not be a respecter of persons. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that we should be responsible for giving. This is what it should mean in our lives, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because God has promised to give you the increase. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that is the key in our activity this side of eternity with those whom we meet and greet. Okay, let's go back to our next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. And again, we're going to look at the instruction as well as the scripture text, and they're identical. The instruction, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. And this is what this scripture says. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. And we know that if you don't invite, or if you don't contest evil, evil will not have anything to draw from to fight. And this is what the psalmist says, and David says in Psalms 1, it gives us an understanding of that exactly. Listen to what David told Israel in Psalms 1 concerning this. David says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There is merit to not trying. Listen to what David continues to say. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. My brothers and sisters, if you're going to contest, be like Jesus did in the wilderness with the devil. He used scripture to contrast what the devil was trying to cause him to do and sin against God. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Again, as part of the blessing, not following after evil, you're going to receive the blessings of doing good. The fourth verse says, the ungodly are not so, but are as the shaft which the wind driveth away. And it's telling us that the scorners will always, those who are contentious, will always have that as the only thing that they can muster and be involved in. Verse 5 says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So it tells us that to be a scorner or to be contentious, to be froward, all of those activities will cause you to lose your salvation. And we're going to go to the New Testament compliment to see how Timothy was told this by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23-26. And this is what Paul taught Timothy about that. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captives by him at his own will. So we know that if you are going to be complicit and take part in what the scorners and the contentious ones do, you will become a part of what they are doing, and you will be sucked in. And of course, Paul told Timothy that you are to share with them the correct way to be. And if they do not respond to that, that's between them and God. And that's so significant that we, as servants of the Lord, we must not strive. And that is so significant to understand that if we strive, then we are becoming part of what is going on, and that will cause us to falter. And of course, he started off by telling them to avoid things that will cause you to stumble and fall. You'll know if it's, use your scripture to help you develop, you know, your approach and the way that you're going to respond to things that confront you in this life. Okay, we're going to now, this is what I'm asking you to look at as the intent of this instruction that I give you tonight, that evil begets evil and peace calms down anger. So we know that if you're going to take part in unrighteousness, you're going to only be a part of unrighteousness, and it's going to cause you to lose out. But if you are a part of righteousness, you will reap God's benefits, and you will also benefit from that. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 22 again. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 22 again, and we're going to read just two verses, verse 24 and 25. And I see we're at the last and break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the instruction.
No wonder she walked in crying. No wonder she walked in the door weeping. There was no one else that could fix it. No wonder she kissed his feet and took down her hair and started drying his feet with her hair. Because there was nothing but the blood. Nothing else could do it. Nothing else could cleanse it. Nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could restore it. I've been from bed to bed and man to man and woman to woman. Yes, I'm a sinner. But nothing else could fix it. I ran off with anybody who said they would fix it, but nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could fix it. I didn't mean to be a tramp. I wasn't trying to be a slut, but I couldn't find nobody. Nothing but the blood. 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 I tried everything else. Nothing but the blood. I slept with everybody else. Nothing but the blood. I tried to shoot it up, drink it up, smoke it up, snort it up. Nothing, 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 nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to the next instruction. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at verse 24 and 25 in Proverbs chapter 22. And again, as I read the instruction to you, which is almost identical to the scripture text, that's what I want you to keep in mind, the instruction. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. This is so significant for us to understand that when we are confronted, especially in a mob situation, we have to be very, very careful, because that is... the sway is to do the will of the mob, if you will. And so if you're with an angry person or if you're involved with someone that is furious, you're going to fall prey to their anger and their fury, and they will not listen to sensible thought. This is what Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 and 25 says. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And so that completes that thought, that you're going to come into condemnation with what the situation at the time presents itself. And it will be anger and fury. Then you're going to be included in that anger and fury. And that's what's going to happen to you. Now let's go to King David. We're going to amplify this. He's going to give you even more of an understanding of what happens with wickedness in the Psalms 37. We're going to look at some verse 1 and 2, and this is what King David taught Israel concerning that. Again, this is how to avoid it, and this is concerning those who are confronted with it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. My brothers and sisters, what David is saying is that it won't last long. You know, anger cannot last too long or it will explode and it will destroy itself. So you need to be careful in how you deal with people like that, and you should not get upset because they're upset. That's the key. Now, verse 8 through 10 gives us more of an understanding, and it gives us instruction on how to avoid and to, you might say, allay this problem if it confronts you. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yet thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Again, God is only concerned with those who are peaceable. And that is why when the scriptures talk about peace, it is critical that the peace of God be the peace that you share and spread. And it's not the anger or wrath of God. You know, that is not going to make peace. It's going to destroy. And verse 20 continues to talk about this instruction when David says, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consummate. Into smoke they shall consummate away. Again, the wicked will not survive. And verse 28 completes the thought when verse 28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So it's telling us that we should not be a part of the anger or fury of any moment or of any situation. Now we're going to go to Timothy, and we're going to see how Paul instructs Timothy in the same manner. First Timothy, we're going to look at chapter 6. Verse 3 through 5 in 1 Timothy. And, of course, what I'm doing is taking this instruction out of context, but it does apply, I think, because it gives instruction on how to avoid, not become a part of anger and wrath and fury. This is what Paul taught Timothy. If any man teaches otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words, wherefore and whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputations, disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Suppose that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So Paul is telling Timothy, don't become a part of that environment, because if you become a part of that environment, you shall reap the same. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. Be careful who you associate with, because if you play with dirt, you will get dirty. And if you play with fire, you will get burnt. In other words, we should not be a part of that. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 22 again. We're going to look at one verse, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. And this is significant because it is telling us, and I'm going to get the instruction and the text. The instruction says, Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy father has set. And this is what verse 28 says. She also, verse 23, verse 22, verse 28, it says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. And then we're going to look at verse 10 of 23 that is likened to it. It says, remove not the old landmarks and enter not into fields of the fatherless. My brothers and sisters, what this is telling us is that we have to be careful about how we not follow the instructions of the New Testament and the Old Testament, regardless of how old these instructions are. They are pertinent to godliness, and we are to respond to them accordingly. And of course, we know that the New Testament has precedent over the Old Testament, but the Old Testament still is a document that gives us not only quality instructions, but instructions that have been incorporated into the New Testament. We know that Jesus Christ himself, when he was talking to the rich young ruler who questioned him about being godly, he said, well, follow the commandments. And the commandments he cited were Old Testament commandments. He said, you know, love the Lord thy God. And he said, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not fraud. And the young man said he had done this all the way up to his youth. So you can see in that instance that Jesus Christ had incorporated some of that Old Testament instruction, and that's what's pertinent. And that's what I want you to understand, that this is significant. The old landmarks, they have their purpose, and we should be familiar with them, and we should use them and apply them as necessary. And this is how the New Testament complement talks about that. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we're going to see how Jesus says it to the apostles in John chapter 14. He puts it on this wise, John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So, that old ancient landmark, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we know that that is from the Old Testament, brought into currency. So that is what we should make sure we understand. And now that this is the last instruction for this evening, the host and I, as we complete this lesson, would like to thank you for your participation and encouragement, and we say collectively good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.